Good morning, church. I feel like I've had church already. I think I need to sit down. I mean, what with Patty's message and Joni's playing, God is here with us today. God is really here with us today. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see how God's going to work with us and make us a church that's going to impact this whole area. And men from Phoenix House, we welcome you and we love you. And Ginger and I will be leaving this afternoon. We're going down to Marquette and then we're flying out to Schroon Lake, New York for a Village Missions Conference. But you know what? I'd rather stay here. I don't think anything compares to the beauty of what we have here at Lake Superior and the other lakes. But we will suffer and we will go down nonetheless. Today I'm going to give the last part of a six-part series of what he wants us to be as a church and a people of God. And this is the last time I'm going to test you. What does he want us to be? Number one, he wants us to. Number two, he wants us to. Number three, he wants us to. Number four. Number five. And today, we will be excited. I love this. You guys have been studying. That's great. That's absolutely great. It's nice when you have handouts. I'm sorry, guys, you don't have the handouts for that. Sometimes there's a fine line between anxiety and excitement. Do you notice that? A fine line between anxiety and excitement. Anxiety can have just an element of fear and dismay, but excitement has that element of adventure and freedom and invincibility. I remember when my son was 11 or 12, and he wanted to go to an amusement park. How many people here love amusement parks? Some of you? And what's your favorite part of the amusement park? The roller coasters. I hate roller coasters. I absolutely detest roller coasters. But this was my son's day. You know, I had planned this. I said, okay, son, I'm going to take you to the park, and whatever you want to do, I will do. And what's the first thing you want to do? Get on the roller coaster. You know, I told my son, if you ever want to beat fear, what you need to do is jump into things with both feet. I had told him that. Do you know, sometimes when you make suggestions of what a son needs to do, it points right back to you. I hate that when God does that. But here we are, son got a roller coaster. Of course, he picks the meanest and fiercest roller coaster that there was. And I'm reluctant. I'm getting in there. And, you know, there's a measure of finality about getting into a roller coaster, because in line, you can jump line and get away from it, right? But once you put the seatbelt on and you hear that click, or the harness on, you hear that click. We'll hear it here soon. You hear that click. And then when the bar comes over, you know you're at the point of no return. Right? It's like, I don't know what to do, but I have no control whatsoever. But the worst thing is, you know, you go, and they tease you. You go through a couple of loops, you know, a little pull to the right, a little pull to the left. And then they take you straight up. Okay? Not only that, they take you up slow. They take you up so slow that you can hear the wheels of the roller coaster. You know that sound? That click, click, click. And you know what's coming next. You know, you're there and my eyes were closed. My son's eyes were probably up. My eyes were closed and I'm hearing the last click, click, click. And up we go! Up to the right and to the left and up and down and over and under. I'm going, oh man, every organ in my soul is in my throat. And this is terrible. And then it comes again. It's like it never stops. You know that? And then one more time, it's click, 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 and off you again to the right and to the left. And I'm looking at my son, and what is he doing? He's like this! How crazy is that? How crazy is that? But you know, after the first one, we got on another one. And I started just opening my eyes just a little bit and saying to myself, I got a seatbelt on and I got a pole. And why is he having so much fun beside me? So, you know, you kind of ease into it. When the next time the click, click, clicks come, you kind of go, and you go down. And then the third or fourth one, you say, well, if he's going to enjoy it, I am too. So when the click, click, clicks come, I know that I have a beautiful view to look at. I know that I can look all over the park and see everything. And also I know that I'm safe and secure in the seat that they've given me. And so why not enjoy it? So I started enjoying it. Now that's really crazy. And the going downs weren't as bad. And the coming ups were fun. They were fun. And yes, the last ride, and you got to give me credit, the last ride, I too was... You know something, folks? That's not much different than us living life. That the enemy throws at us, the ups and downs, things that we can't seem even to comprehend or grasp. And the fear and the trembling comes over us because we don't feel like we have a harness. And we don't feel like we have a bar that holds us in that seat. And life just throws us around. And we run off, not excited, but with the anxiety and that fear that is resident in our hearts. We're going to go back to Joshua one more time. You might think this is strange because I'm working backwards. I'm the only pastor that I know that goes to the back of the book and works forward. Because we already talked about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, about how Joshua came out of his comfort zone, the whole nation came out of the comfort zone. We already talked about how expectant that the nation of Israel was when they walked over the River Jordan. But now we're going to talk about Joshua and his fears and the roller coaster ride that he knew he had to take in order to acquire the promises that God gave them. So with that, let's go to Joshua. We'll be in chapter 1, verse 1 through 19, and then verse 13. And before we do that, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, your pastor is crazy, but I'm excited about learning God's word or hearing God's word. I'm excited about hearing God's word. Go ahead, do that. Your pastor is crazy, but I'm excited about hearing God's word. Okay? Maybe I do need Shroon Lake. Who knows? So anyways, I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. The book of Joshua. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that when you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In verse 13, remember the word which Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sometimes I feel as a pastor and a leader, I ride that roller coaster ride every day, trying to get from you a word that may be given to this congregation. Being before you in fear and trembling, hoping that you give me the wisdom that's necessary to lead this church into the community and into their household. With that, Lord, I ask that you use me as a vessel to proclaim your word, that when we leave this church today, we will know a little bit of more about you than when we first came in. So with that, Lord, I lift myself up to you. I ask, Lord, that you will open hearts and minds to receive what you're about to give this congregation. And I pray this in your holy, precious name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go back to what was happening here in Joshua chapter 1. I know that we've covered this ground before, but it's important that we do it one more time. As we enter chapter 1, Moses had just died. And Joshua, who was a servant of Moses, who had Moses as a mentor, was going to be given the charge to take the promised land. As we had mentioned before, there's only two people from the generation that came across Egypt that were able to go into the promised land, and that was Joshua and Caleb. You can only imagine what's going through Joshua's mind. He spent 40 years with Moses. He saw the miracles that God worked through him. And he knew that at that moment, when the baton was passed to him, that it was time to take that roller coaster ride. I'm sure when God said to him that you will now lead this nation into my promises, that he certainly could feel that click, click, click of life hitting him square in the face. But I love the verses here and how gentle God was to him and how affirming God was to him, because God really reminded him of the promise that he had given to Moses. And that is that that this land will be given to them. He said that to Joshua. I am giving you to them. I am giving this land to them, to the sons of Israel. Can you imagine? God saying, it's okay, because I am giving you this land. And that's actually what he said here. Not only am I giving you this land, it's already yours. And all you have to do is step into it. Because it says, everywhere that the soles of your feet will step will be yours. What a promise. What a promise he had to Joshua. And what such kindness when he knew that Joshua was feeling that anxiety, that fear, and that trembling. And then God talks to him. First he says, you're going to go in. Then he says, everywhere you step, you already have the land. And then he says, here is the land. And the land he described from the wilderness of Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates and land of the Hittite, that was a land of wealth. It was a land abundant with trees and water and fruits and vegetables. You might say, well, you know, we have that up here. But they were in the desert for 40 years. They've not seen that for 40 years. 40 years of manna. Not that there's anything wrong with manna. But 40 years of eating manna. So God was telling them, don't worry. I'm giving you the land. Take a step into it. Everywhere you step will be yours. And it will be the land of milk and honey that I promised you. And it will be far-reaching and abundant. That was his promise to Joshua. The second thing and the most important thing was he promised Joshua. Now listen to this. He promised Joshua his own presence. His own presence. Think about that. The land, exactly the fulfillment of promises and his presence. Here's what he says in verse 5. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. That's his whole life. Isn't that a great promise? He promised his presence in his life. Also, he said, who can come against them? No man. No man will come against them. I'm sure that Joshua was, again, going in and out of saying, this is real. Like sometimes we do when God talks to us. And, you know, do we really hear his voice or not? I just sense that there was doubt in him because verse 6, starting in verse 6, God tells him, be strong and courageous. Who else has a God that says that? Be strong and courageous. It's okay. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong, be courageous, for you are going to deliver your people. You're the one that will be going in and be given the possession of the land. You're going to want to be the one to take the land that I'm giving you, and I will be there with you. I will be there with you. And this was to be done with the gifts that Joshua had, his military leadership gifts and his leadership skills. I don't think you get mentored by a man like Moses for 40 years without some of the light sticking on you. You would think Joshua would say, okay, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. But you can just hear that doubt, or feel that doubt. Can't hear that, but feel that doubt that he might have. Because verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous. One more time. That's the second time. Be strong and courageous for the second time. And he says, this now is a formula for your success. You got the land. I'm going to be with you. Here is a formula for success. And that is, he was supposed to do whatever was according to the law which Moses had given them. He was to follow the law. He was supposed to be the standard bearer of the law, of the five books of the Bible. He was a standard bearer. He was the one to model the book. So you have words like, don't turn from the left or to the right. It didn't mean don't be Democrat or Republican. What it meant is keep focus on the word. Don't turn from the left or to the right. He was told don't bend the rules. It was important for a leader to set the example. Don't bend the rules. Don't say, these taxes, maybe I donated more that year. Or the speed limit, those are just for visitors. You know what I mean? God said, no, don't turn from the right to the right or to the left of God's word. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Back then, that meant always be able to mutter it. So that it's there at the tips, just at the tip of your tongue. So it comes freely. So don't let it depart from your mouth. It needs to be part of you in your focus. It needs to be part of you in what you say. And it says, meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it. It's not just reading. It's, okay, I do this, I do this. It's like, meditate on it. It's like, okay, I do this. Now, why would God want me to do this? Well, this makes sense because this follows this. Well, this makes sense because this keeps me protected and safe. Sometimes people hate God's law because they look at it as a restriction. Other people love God's law because it protects and provides for them. It's a big difference. And last, do according to what is written. That is the key to success. So God was pretty open with them. Okay, you got the land, you walk in there. In order that you're successful, get into the word. Know it, have it be part of you. And do, be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. All the victory was dependent on doing things God's way. God's way. And it was a promise. You want to be prosperous and you want success. Do it my way, because my way is a way of protection. My way is not roles. My way is for me to be present in your life. Does that make sense? Third time that God told Joshua to be strong and courageous in verse 9. And one more time, the click, click, clicks of life must have been going to Joshua, because here's how that verse starts. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Have I not commanded you? Which means to me that he was looking at the giants and not the land of milk and honey. That the click, click, clicks of that roller coaster was starting to pull him down. You know that because it says here, do not tremble or be dismayed. Isn't God's word wonderful? I mean, it just tells you that. You just read it. It just shows you that. And then it says, don't be dismayed or troubled, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Strong and courageous. Strong and courageous in the Hebrew is strong, is the imperative, kazak. And it's imperative to be strong. It's like, be strong, to prevail, be firm, to press, be urgent. That's what God was telling them. Courageous, that's to be brave and bold. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Here are the rules. You follow my rules. You follow my word. You follow my laws. You just can't lose. I'm your safety net. I'm the bar of the roller coaster. I'm the seatbelt of that roller coaster. Everything is promised to you and it's yours. I am holding you tight. That nothing is going to get in the way of you taking the promised land except one thing. Not yourself. Now, how do we apply this? How do we apply this in our lives? God has promises to us. God has promises that we can have victory over those things that pull us down. He's given us that victory on the cross. It is assured, that victory. And our spiritual life can be far-reaching. Not only do we have victory, we can help get victory for others. We can help them take the land. Now, Christ left us with the Holy Spirit to enable us. Holy Spirit to enable us. So God is with us too. We're not alone. And life with Christ is available to all of us. But sometimes we need to get on the coaster. We can't be in line. It's time for us to move out, to take what God's already given us. Take what God's already given us. Christ promises us victory. He got it on the cross. Right? And he promised us his presence and his power. And he also says in Hebrews, which Hebrews takes from Joshua, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. What's that word? Never. If you look in the Greek, it's not any time, no way, no how will I ever leave you, nor run away from you, nor trick you, nor double cross you. There's no way, no way, no way. No way. So we have his presence too from the Holy Spirit. You know, we have the advantage in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came upon certain leaders, not everybody. Christ died on the cross, gave us that final victory, and gave us the Holy Spirit that can comfort us, encourage us, and say these same words that God just said to Joshua. We have the Holy Spirit to hug us. We have the Holy Spirit to just hold on to us so tight. But where's the fear from? Where is the fear from? You know, we do need to be strong and courageous and be bold in who we are. So many times we find out that we Christians don't set good examples. And we Christians go in the way of the world. And then we find out there's not much difference between the world and the church. We need to be strong and courageous because he's given us as leaders a chance to help the people possess the land. And what does that mean? He's given us as Christians an opportunity to lead everybody out there to a relationship with Christ. He's given us an opportunity to share the gospel and increase our borders. He's given us a far-reaching area of Calumet, Lake Linden, Houghton, Mohawk, Tamarack, Red Jacket. You know, wherever. He's given us that territory. And in that giving, all we have to do is... Never said Rand did it. So everywhere that your foot tread. It didn't say everywhere that your foot ran, which means we do it in rest. Does that make sense? We do it in rest. I I like how Ray Stedman talks about the world out there. There's no doubt that our frontier is filled with snakes, varmints, evildoers, dry times and wet times. But we are given to take possession of the land and help others possess the land too. And we will be called to use our gifts to do that, whatever God gives us. But what are the roles? What are the roles? What was the secret to success for Joshua? What was the secret to prosper? Stay in the Word. Stay on task. It says, be focused on it. Be focused on God's Word. It's a standard. Never sway. Never sway from it. Don't compromise God's Word. Don't water it down. We don't need a seeker service, except we need a service to provide for seekers a way to Christ. Does that make sense? Compromise only means that we have the danger of losing God's presence in the battle, and we don't want to do that. Let it be a part of our vocabulary. Let God's Word be a part of our vocabulary. Let God's Word, let us study it daily. Study it daily as we breathe in and out. You know, there are counterfeits out there. Do you know what the Treasury Department does to detect counterfeit bills? Do you know what they do? They don't study the counterfeit. They study the real thing. They know exactly what the real thing is. So when they see a counterfeit, just like that, they can say, that's not the real thing. We have to do that with the Word of God, don't we? So that we can discern the Spirit, and just like that, we can say, that is not real. That is not God-like. That is not what Jesus would want me to do. And the hardest part, all we hypocrites, and I throw myself in the boat, because I can preach to my son, but I certainly didn't want to get on that roller coaster. But we got to be doers of the Word. Like I said before, the whole world is watching us. We have victory if we keep focused. We have a great amount of probability of success and to prosper for the kingdom. And I don't mean prosper in the way of money's in our pocket, but I mean prosper spiritually. Prosper in leading other people to a living knowledge of Jesus Christ. So there's no need to be fearful or dismayed. You know, Satan's arsenal is filled with fear and discouragement. And too many times, even us can look at giants versus the abundant fruit that's available to us. But you know what? Satan wants us to hear those click, click, clicks of life. And if you hear them, you know God's going to do something. And what do I mean by that? The next time we hear the click, click, clicks coming at us, how we feel weighed down by the problems in our house or with others, the next time we do that, we don't have fear and dismay. We have excitement trying to figure out, how is God going to work this one out? How is God going to work this one out? And excited to know that in our adversity, that God will be present and something will happen. Something will happen. The excitement of a life with Christ. There was a captain out in the field, and the enemy was slowly starting to surround them. The enemy was before them and behind them and to the right and to the left. The captain calls into headquarters and said to headquarters, well, we're kind of surrounded here. We got the enemy in front of us. We got the enemy behind us. We got the enemy to the right of us and the enemy to the left of us. And the captain just slowly smiled. And he ain't going to get away this time. He ain't going to get away this time. Verse 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Changing lives isn't about running to individuals, beating them over the head with the Bible. Changing lives is just as much modeling. Changing lives is just as much reaching out. Changing lives is just as much being available. He wants us to rest in that and rest in that security. And you know, sometimes our strength as Christians comes more out of weakness than dependence. Listen to that. Sometimes it comes more out of weakness. In our weakness, he's made strong. I personally want a church that can get excited about the click, click, clicks. I want to be with a church that can't wait for the enemy to attack us, because that means we're doing something right. I want to be in a church that says, let's calm down. Let's take it to prayer and see what God's word has to say about it. That's where I want to be. And you know what? I think I am. So we got to ask ourselves, do the clicks, clicks, clicks of life get you down? Are you bewildered by the highs and lows that happen? Are you afraid of the highs because you know a low is coming? How many people say that? Life is just too good. Something's going to happen. And do the lows just plunge you in despair? You know, I love you guys, but it's time for us to realize we need to rest in God's arms. We need to know that there's just as much excitement in the lows as there are in the highs. We need to know that even in the lows, we need to understand that's where God does his best work, isn't it? It's where God really appears and does his best work. This place is exciting. Things are happening. God's getting us prepared for the next step. Not coincidental that we had this 6-part series, so we understand our roles and what our next challenges will be. So let's get excited. It's going to be a great roller coaster ride. And we're not only going to have fun, but we're going to dramatically change the lives of people in this community. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that we know that we have victory and that you've given us eternal life. We know that we've won the battle, or you've won the battle for us. We know, Lord, that we need to lean on your everlasting arms, Lord. With that, Lord, I just pray that you will keep us focused on your word. I will pray, Lord, that we will be strong and courageous in this fight. I just pray, Lord, too, that we will be open to you and that we will have rest in your arms. Lord, I do pray also that if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, anybody that has never heard the gospel message, never understood that the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament, who sent his son to die on the cross to shed that blood for us, to win that victory, to help us step forward, to get rid of all the junk in our lives so that we can be free again and get excited about the highs and lows. If we have anybody here that does not have a relationship with Christ, now is the time. And it's so simple. You just say, dear Lord, just come into my heart. I have a screwed up life. I've gone through this, and I need victory. I need victory. The roller coaster is taking me down. I just don't like it. Maybe now is a time of salvation for you. It's so simple. All you have to do is say, Lord, I accept you. I turn away from my sin. I want to walk in victory everywhere I go. Can you say that? Can you say that in your heart? If there's anybody here that has said that with all the eyes closed and the heads bowed, if there's anybody who said that, who wants a relationship with Christ and has accepted him today, I just ask for a show of hands so that I can pray for you. Is there anybody at all that God's tugging on you, saying, I need that victory. I need to go forward. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I will assure you, individuals that raise your hands, I will pray for you. I will assure you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we pray, Lord, that you will bless this day and bless the rest of our week. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said,